webinar on introduction of minimum capitalization norms for financial services. Implications on existing structures webinar. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Pratibha Jain. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to join the webinar today. The circular that we're discussing today was released by the Ministry of Finance on April 16th. And since then, we've had multiple queries from existing clients and also people, potential clients looking to set up new structures in India. And we thought it would be helpful if we can not only address the concerns that the circular has raised to the best of our abilities in terms of interpretation of the circular, but also open it up to questions in case we haven't yet thought through all of the issues. I'm sure there will be other possible issues, so we look forward to questions from the participants on the webinar. If you have any questions, would request you to please send it to webinar2018@nishitdesai.com. That is webinar2018@nishitdesai.com, so that at the end of the webinar, we can just pick up the questions from the emails itself. Before I get into the circular that was issued on April 16th, I thought let us just get into the history of the reforms in the sector, where we started from and where we've come up till now. That will help us contextualize what the ministry has now released. So for people who have been in the market for that long, till before 2016, we had 18 activities under the financial services sector, under FDI policy, which were allowed under 100% automatic route. The 18 activities that were mentioned under the FDI policy and DISPRO regulations did not have definitions related to those 18 activities. As a result, the activities that the foreign investors, specifically strategic investors looking at setting up financial services activity in India as a financial house undertaking various activities, there used to arise questions regarding whether or not a particular activity will fall under the 18 heads provided. For example, if you looked at one of the 18 activities covered was stockbroking, question arose very early in the interpretation of these 18 activities whether proprietary trading would be covered under stockbroking or not. Similarly, under leasing and finance, did finance mean only loan financing or also equity financing? And there was a lot of back and forth for years, in fact, in terms of some of these interpretations, which made FDI into these activities difficult. Based on feedback from the industry, the Ministry of Finance with RBI did liberalize the sector. As a result, the FEMA 375 amendment provided, instead of 18, listing down the 18 categories, provided two headings. Financial services that were regulated by the relevant financial services sector regulator and those that weren't. So any financial services activities regulated by a financial services regulator, which included RBI, SEBI, IRDA, and PFRDA and NHB, but not just exclusively, it also referred to any other financial service regulator, were considered to be allowed under 100% automatic route without the FDI conditionalities. And any other financial services activity which were not regulated or were only partly regulated by the, and this is important, the FDI circular said that only part of the financial services activity is regulated or there is doubt regarding the regulatory oversight, foreign investment was allowed under the government route up to 100%. This was considered a welcome move by the industry because it allowed you to go to the sectoral regulator, confirm, get your registration, get your status as a regulated entity and take activities accordingly. Certain activities were, there was still no clarity on whether they are regulated or not regulated because they either felt under the exempt category under either of these regulations under the financial services sector by various regulators or was simply not regulated, for example, trustee activities. So question arose whether and how you have to take approval. Some of these were sent back for approval to the ministry because under the new regulations you went directly to the Department of Economic Affairs. And their concern arose, what sort of minimum capitalization do you apply to them? Because for 100% automatic route, it was the minimum capitalization that's provided by the relevant regulator that would be applicable. So there was, under the new regulations, no categorization of minimum capitalization, which was there in the previous regime. Under the previous regulations, if you were a fund-based, you were performing a fund-based activity, they had three categories going all the way up to 50 million for 100% FDI into the entity. And if you were a non-fund-based activity, then 0.5 million minimum capitalization was applicable. To clarify, from our understanding and discussions with Ministry of Finance, the mere purpose of this circular was to provide for the minimum capitalization norms for activities that didn't fall under regulated sector, under any of the sectoral regulators, to provide the ministry standardized rate for application of minimum capitalization. But along with that, the ministry has also provided certain clarifications with respect to definition of what is considered regulated and what are fund-based activities and non-fund-based activities, which have then now led to us doing this webinar because it's causing some amount of confusion as to how to interpret those activities. I will hand over to my colleague Ruchir to just go over some of these clarifications that have been provided in the circular.
Yeah, thank you, Pratibha. I think just at a time when we thought that it was a level playing field for all foreign and domestic investors, and the only divide was regulated versus unregulated, and we were away from the realm of minimum capitalization norms, and it was all with the sectoral regulators. I think this recent press release of 16th April has kind of brought in a little bit of ambiguity in the whole scenario. Although the press release starts by saying minimum capital requirements for other financial services activities which are unregulated by any financial sector regulator and FDI is allowed under the government route, what it does is, it, in my view, one of the most crucial things it does is that it is seeking somewhere to redefine what is meant by regulated and what is unregulated. I'll quickly read out the explanatory note that is given in the press release. It says, It is clarified that fund and non-fund based activities shall include but not limited to the following activities to the extent that they are 1. Not regulated by any financial sector regulator - this shall include scenarios where the entity is not registered. So they are saying that if an entity is not registered, it will deem to be unregulated. So it says where the entity is not registered with the concerned sector regulator and or the entity / activity is exempted under the concerned sector regulations. So one significant change in that this type, you know, press release brings about is by virtue of this clarification or the explanatory note that it has included, which is clarifying now that an entity which is not registered or an activity which is exempted under the concerned sector regulations will be deemed to be unregulated. Sub-bullet 2 or point number 2, it says where only part of financial services activity is regulated. To that, accordingly, it is an activity-based test, not an entity-based test to that extent. Therefore, even if you are registered with a financial services regulator, but you are conducting any activity which is, to that extent, unregulated. And unregulated again means either it is not within the framework of regulation or it's an exempted activity, you will still be called an unregulated entity and the minimum capitalization norms will apply. And the third obviously is something that was there earlier also, which says that where there is a doubt regarding the regulatory oversight. So now broadly what has happened is, the way we look at it is that where there was not much guidance earlier on what is regulated versus unregulated has now been made clear in a way by the press release suggesting that any entity which is unregistered will qualify as unregulated. And it is not just an entity test, it's also an activity test. So if you're a registered entity but still conducting an unregulated or exempt activity, you will still be called as an unregulated entity and the minimum capitalization norms will apply. Now a classic example of this can be which my colleague Richie will touch at some point in time, can be investment advisors that were conducting certain exempt activities in terms of advising the offshore investors, or it can be core investment companies that were below the 100 crore threshold and not having any kind of public debt, which RBI exempted from registration. But they were still conceptually NBFCs. Or the other example, which is I think plaguing the industry at this point in time, are the asset managers of a regulated AIF. So asset management entity itself is not registered, but by virtue of the AIF being regulated and registered, we always believe that the asset management entity itself should also be deemed to be regulated. But I think those foundations are kind of getting tested now, and it does seem purely by looking at this definition that an asset manager of an AIF may qualify as an unregulated entity because it is itself not registered with the financial services regulator. What is the implication of this? One major implication is that now minimum capitalization norms will trigger in, which means that if you are a fund-based activity, then even the slightest amount of foreign investment will require that there must be $20 million of capitalization into the company. Or if you are a fee-based activity or what they're calling as non-fund-based activity, there needs to be a $2 million capitalization. So activities like investment advisory services, financial consultancy, forex broking, money changing, credit rating agencies, etc., which are largely fee-based activities, will now require $2 million capitalization. And one can only guess what will be the need of this capital for these kind of advisory entities. If you are a fund-based activity, And this is only, you know, there are only certain examples. There can be more fund-based entities also, but this is drawing up from the previous list, you know, under the FDI policy. So the fund-based activities are merchant banking, underwriting, portfolio management services, stock broking, asset management, which is, you know, most critical for us at this stage, venture capital, custodian services, loan companies, investment companies, factoring, housing finance, credit card business, microcredit, rural credit, and all these kind of credit entities. These will all be fund-based activities where now you will require a $20 million capitalization. Again, the challenge is that if you're, let's say, an asset management company, then what do you do with this $20 million? Because you really, as an asset management company, don't need that kind of capital. More importantly, the question that is coming up is that if you are now getting qualified as an unregulated activity merely because you are not registered with the financial services regulator, or because you are conducting an activity which is exempted from registration or from regulation, the challenge is that you will now require the regulatory approval, which earlier used to be FIPB approval. In case of financial services, now this will be the approval from the Department of Economic Affairs. Another challenge or another implication of these of the press release is that sometimes the asset manager was being qualified as you know, in the or the advisory entities, or some of these entities were being structured in the nature of limited liability partnerships, because foreign investment into a limited liability partnership is permitted only if that entity itself is under the automatic route without any performance link condition or without any sectoral conditionalities. The moment your entity becomes an entity which is having, which is not under the automatic route or is having any sectoral conditionality such as minimum capitalization, LLP route is not available. So therefore, the structure of some of these entities may need to be relooked at based on the you know, based on versus they are regulated versus unregulated, which may have a significant impact on the tax optimization of you know, of some of these entities. So I think those are the broadly the change that the press release is seeking to bring about. I think I will just pass on and request my colleague Richie to discuss the implications of the press release that he's seeing from a fund industry perspective.
All right. Thanks, Sachin, and welcome everybody to our discussions. From our perspective, as far as investment fund industry is concerned, there are two significant buckets of changes that this clarification has sort of introduced and injected an uncertainty to the system. Traditionally, we have seen investment fund structures in a manner where the Indian entity is providing non-binding investment advisory services to an offshore management presence, and that offshore management presence was taking the discretionary calls for funds which were traditionally located outside India, largely pooling capital from overseas investors and investing in India on that basis. That was one traditional structure. The other traditional and model which has now evolved is around the AIF platform, where India-based entities are managing the AIFs and are directly taking discretionary calls. Both of these structures seem to have been impacted as far as the entities in India are concerned. So starting with the investment advisor who is rendering advisory services to an offshore client, with the introduction of the investment advisor regulations of 2013, there was an exemption which was given to any person who was providing these advisory services to clients outside India. Accordingly, there was an exemption from seeking license under the advisory regulations for such advisors. That situation creates a ambiguity that if the entity is exempted under applicable law, then would it be considered as covered under this circular? So even if, let's say, we take a view that even though there is an exemption, if the Indian entity is advising offshore client, could they perhaps go for a license under the advisor regulations and accordingly not be seen as an exempted entity, but now a registered entity under the IA regulations? However, if you look at the test that has been applied for non-fund-based entities, it says either the entity is unregistered or exempted, or the activity is unregulated. So could a view be taken that even though the advisor is registered under the investment advisor regulations, yet the fact that the advice is being rendered or the advice is being consumed by an offshore client, which under the advisor regulations is an exempted sort of an activity. So accordingly, even if the entity is registered, yet the part of the activity is an unregulated activity as far as the regulations are concerned, could it still bring within ambit the advisory entities in India and require that if there's any element of foreign investment to those entities, it would need to be capitalized to the extent of $2 million? And again, the fact that this is part of the broader bucket of other financial services, could it also trigger a need to separately get an approval from DEA, Department of Economic Affairs, and so on and so forth? So that issue still remains. The other mechanism in which funds are now being managed out is by setting up the AIF platform, where the Indian entity is which takes the discretionary call on the investment activities of the fund, and the management team is based out of the investment manager. Now, the investment manager is not technically registered with SEBI under the AIF regulations. There are a vast areas of aspects where SEBI mandates that the manager of an AIF be fit and proper person as far as the intermediary regulations are concerned, that it has necessary infrastructure, follows the KYC and maintains the compliance with all applicable laws. But the fact that these issues that could augur for the impression that the manager is regulated, yet the fact that it is not registered with SEBI, could that trigger the need for this schedule or this guidance to be applicable? That's point number one. The second issue is that investment managers of AIFs are again exempted under the investment advisor regulations. So could have been taken that if the manager goes for a forceful registration under the investment advisor regulations, could that then overcome the issue of being unregistered by the regulator? Answer to that also perhaps is no, because the management of an AIF is a fund based activities if you look at the circular, whereas the investment advisor or advisory services are non-fund based activity. The exemption under the investment advisor regulations was perhaps given with a background that as a manager to the fund, you are the product manufacturer. You could be approaching investors to invest into your fund, and basis your recommendation or advice to the investors, they may or may not participate in that fund. So accordingly, this limited piece of activity where as a product manufacturer you are approaching investors, we don't think that you need to get yourself registered as an investment advisor. If that was the view being taken, then even taking registration as an investment advisor may not perhaps be fulfilling to the shortcom that you are not directly registered with SEBI as an investment manager. So there are these implications for an investment manager, even if they go for a registration under the investment advisor, and similar implications for an investment advisor, which even though advising solely non-resident entities, perhaps one single client to whom it is advising, yet despite going for a formal registration under the advisory regulations, they may still find themselves on the obligation side of the circular. Those I thought were the implications for advisors and managers who are involved in the investment fund industry in India. Over to you, Pratibha.
Thanks, Richard and Richie. Just also to cover one more important aspect, which is if our understanding, at least from the intent, if we just look at it from the ministry's perspective, if you look at the title, it is with respect to minimum capitalization norms of the circular. But then it goes into this clarification with respect to the definition of regulated and fund versus non-fund-based activities. And since it says it's an explanatory note, whether this will be applicable prospectively or retrospectively, I think that will also be a very important interpretation for specifically investment managers, advisors who have already set up their businesses in India with the structures based on a particular interpretation which has now been clarified. Given that note is explanatory in nature, clarificatory in nature, it is possible that the view that would be taken by the regulator would be that this was always applicable and this was always meant to be the definition. We've just clarified it now. What has now prospectively been applied is the amount applicable to these activities, but the way they looked at what is regulated versus unregulated was always there. They're just providing an explanation. So the prospective application is only with respect to the minimum capitalization and not with respect to the way that the regulators are looking at the definition of regulated versus unregulated, which means that in any case, these minimum capitalization norms are for applications that would or activities that would fall under the government route. So it's only when you were going to go to the regulator for approval that these would be applicable anyhow. So I think that is important to note in terms of whether people would now need to consider post-facto approval depending on the clarifications that we are able to get from the regulators in this regard.
Yeah, sorry Pratibha if I interrupted.
Go ahead, Richard.
No, just one point there. I think, as Pratibha said, I think that's a very important aspect because this is coming in as a form of clarification and not really a new law in that sense. I think so we'll also have to see how the new press note comes. But I think another important aspect which is coming up now, which some of our kind of clients informed us, is that even though the press release is right now a press release and not really has not been formally notified, somewhere the authorized dealers and industry players are taking this as a guidance to determine whether their activity right now is regulated or unregulated. I think that is becoming a challenge even at this stage. So a question that is often coming to us is that pending the notification of the press release, where do we stand right now? Do we read the press release as a guidance note to us, which kind of sets out what is regulated and what is unregulated, and therefore any foreign investment that I'm bringing in now, how should I be interpreting this regulation? How should I be interpreting the applicability of the government approval route there? And I think somewhere the authorized dealers are also getting a little lost in this. So I think that's another area which is creating ambiguity, and let's see how the final formal notification pans out.
Thanks, Richard. Just also on the post-facto application of this when should it actually be applicable in terms of this the press release, there is this has not yet been incorporated into the regulations, so not yet the law, but it will be important for us to try and get as much clarification as possible before this is incorporated in the TISCO regulations. Also, in the past, we know that SEBI has taken a view that, to what Richie had mentioned with respect to AIF, SEBI-registered AIF, the managers for those are also considered regulated. But considering the clarification note, as Richie had mentioned, which says that if you're not registered and the investment managers are not registered, even if the concerned financial regulator has told you that even if you're not registered but regulated, would then the Ministry of Finance still take a view that in their view that it's still not regulated as per the FDI policy, might be considered regulated by SEBI. So these are some of the concerns. The ministry is aware that these are concerns being raised by the industry. We are hoping to have discussions with them soon and get some clarifications with respect to these issues. Till that time, we can only provide our interpretation, and since it's not the law yet, we are hoping we can get those clarifications from the regulators. With that, I will open the discussion up for questions, unless Ruchi, you have any further comments to make.
No, I think Pratibha, we can just take the question which has come to us on email first,
mm-hmm.
and then we can ask them to open the questions to the audio participants.
So let me just go to the first question, which is from Sanket at KPMG. First question is whether manager of a SEBI-registered AIF would be considered as a regulated entity so that the current press release can be said to be not applicable. As we have just discussed, we believe SEBI has taken a view in the past that it does consider SEBI-registered AIF managers to be regulated, but your question seems to be with respect to SEBI registered AIFs, and they are definitely considered registered with SEBI, so they would be considered regulated as per even the current press release. Richard, do you want to take the second question?
Yeah, no, I think so the question, and I think just to add to Pratibha, I think the current press release is creating the kind of ambiguity, because right now it is saying that an entity which is not registered with the concerned regulator. So I think typically asset manager of an AIF was always considered to be regulated, but with this press release, if you take a strict technical interpretation, it is saying that if the entity itself is not registered with the SEBI or with the sector regulator, then it will be deemed to be unregulated. And if that were to be the case indeed, and unless the Department of Economic Affairs comes with the clarification that I think Pratibha mentioned that's likely to come, but in the absence of that, right now where we'll stand is that the entity might qualify as an unregulated entity. Asset manager has been mentioned as a fund-based activity, and therefore a $20 million minimum capitalization will trigger in. And I think, Pratibha, you want to add to it?
No, I think that answers it. And then the third question is whether the minimum capitalization norms as specified currently would be construed as FDI-linked conditionalities, and so whether FDI and an Indian LLP engaged in investment management activities would be prohibited. So I think the answer to this would depend on whether it's considered to be under automatic route or government route, as per the answers to your first two questions. If it is considered under automatic route, then the conditionalities would not be applicable and hence LLP would be allowed. And if it is considered under government route, then the minimum capitalization under the FDI policy would be applicable and hence conditionalities would be applicable, and hence you could not come through the LLP route for investment management activities. We can now open up to questions, any questions on the call.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudhin Valla from Axis Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sudhin Valla here. I have two questions. One is, I need your help to locate this press release. I'm not able to get it from the ministry's website. And the second is any amount of FDI needs to be seeking approval, or there's a quantum that has been mentioned, like 10% or 15% or whatever it is?
Yeah, hi, sorry, this is Rocher here. So we will, if you can just email us with your email ID on webinar 2018@nishitdesai.com. We will send you the press release, a copy of it. And as regards the second question, if there is any minimum percentage of foreign investment required, no. If you are an unregulated activity, if you qualify as an unregulated activity, then any amount of foreign investment, even $1, would trigger the government approval and the minimum capitalization requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khushbu Agarwal from NLU Jodhpur. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi. So my question is whether the minimum capital requirements under the IA regulations would be considered as performance linked conditions for an LLP.
So our view on this is that the conditionalities that are provided by your sectoral regulator are not FDI linked conditionalities, and hence not considered for not allowing LLP in that particular activity. But if you are coming under the government route, then now the minimum capitalization norms will be applicable, and you would have to, you could not come through an LLP route.
Okay, that answers my question. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sarika Ranganathan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is, if you are an existing entity, a regulated entity, and conducting regulated activities, except one, as you had earlier stated, the sub-advisory activity under the SEBI Investment Advisory Regulation, will this press release apply? And then, if it applies, do you need a fresh capitalization from your FDI investor, or the earlier capital already in the entity would suffice?
So, Sarika, unfortunately, with the current interpretation, if you have part of the activity which is considered unregulated, then the minimum capitalization norm will be applicable to the entity. However, you would not require fresh infusion. Your existing capital should cover it, because it doesn't talk about infusion of capital post facto.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Deepak Agarwal from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is that, you talked about unregulated financial services and regulated financial services. What if, an activity is, if there is a doubt whether it is a financial services activity at all or not, for example, trustee services. You mentioned something in the beginning of the call. Could you just clarify that?
104 online right now.
Chichi, you want to take that?
Sure. See, I think the way they have divided the two buckets of fund-based activities and non-fund-based activities, it seems that, they are gravitating to non-fund-based activities as fee-based activities. So let's say if these activities are those where you literally would charge a fees, and that's pretty much the nature of the service. Whereas fund-based activities where you are managing money, you are taking custody of certain assets and so on and so forth. So there is obviously a position of view to be taken that as part of your trusteeship services, are you the beneficial owner of the trust assets? Are you carrying out what is not purely a fee-based activity and more in the nature of fund-based activity? And if so, then the implications under the circular follow accordingly.
No, my question was, whether all this, whether fund-based or non-fund-based arises once you say that this is a financial services activity. Is there, there could be some debate whether, this is a financial services activity or this is not a financial services activity. So if it is considered not a financial services activity, then, what norms do we apply? Could we consider it as a generic business service and therefore, not getting covered by this?
That's correct. So if you take a view that this is non-financial services, then you can go under business advisory and under automatic route. However, the regulations say that even if you have doubt whether it's financial services or not, come to us for approval.
Okay. So I think just to add, financial services, I think there are two tests that you need to see. First test of financial services is that are you regulated by a financial services regulator or not? Okay. And second is that all the activities over here, like for instance, during the, you know, couple of years back when the investment advisory, regulations were not out, even then investment advisory activity was always mentioned as a fee-based financial services activity. And the view then was that the investment advisors could have always, under the SEBI Act, could have been regulated by the SEBI, although there were no regulations at that point in time. So you need to be careful. Number one, that can you be regulated by a financial services regulator? Then you are definitely financial services. And obviously, whatever activities which are mentioned here in this list, they naturally qualify as financial services.
Right. And if you're an existing entity and, you know, you have this doubt and therefore you come in the scope of, you know, government route, so these existing entities would now have to apply to the government and take approval again?
That's correct. That should be the right view.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Ma'am, there are no further questions on the audio bridge.
Great. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining the webinar today. Hope you found it useful. And if there are any further questions, we are happy to answer them by email on webinar2018@nishithsai.com. Thank you and bye.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nishit Desai Associates, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.